Welcome along for another hangout, everyone. In our hangouts, we talk about stories from the saddle, motorcycling experiences, and biker-related topics. This is where we can have real conversations about riding, what works, what doesn't, and sometimes the things that riders don't usually say out loud, but probably should. So let's get to it. For tonight's Q&A, Ace has prepared three questions, and as usual, he's got a bonus question waiting at the end. We'll try to bring your comments and questions into the conversation as we go. Just as a reminder, this is live, so your input actually matters. Jump into the chat, share your experiences, ask questions, or call us out if something sounds off. If there's time at the end, we'll circle back and respond to as many comments as we can. Ace, are you ready?
I was ready, and then you started talking.
We're off to a strong start.
I like to think of your intro as a warm-up lap, long, predictable, and nobody's really paying attention.
Well, at least you're here every week.
Yeah, someone has to keep the show moving before you redline a story about turn signals for 12 minutes.
Turn signals are important.
So is getting to the point.
All right, that's enough. You've got three questions and a bonus. Let's see if you can carry your end of the show.
Please! I am the show! You're just the guy explaining it!
Let's find out. What's the first question?
A lot of riders focus on what to do on a motorcycle, but nearly enough on what to avoid. So here it is. What is the most common bad habit riders develop that quietly holds them back?
I think the most common bad habit is probably going to be the having poor throttle and brake control. That means that you're going to end up being choppy instead of smooth. It means that you're compressing and extending the suspension too quickly, and that reduces your traction and makes your bike feel nervous and unstable. Better riders load the tires gradually. They squeeze the brake to set the front forks, and they roll on the throttle progressively to set the rear. Smoothness is really the secret to safety, because it keeps the tire contact patches consistent, and it makes it so that things just happen smooth. And If you're not maintaining your throttle and brake control appropriately, it's just going to feel exhausting. You're going to have a bad ride.
Riders hear it all the time. Be more aware, which sounds great, but also kind of useless. So, what does good situational awareness actually look like for a rider in the real world?
So, real situational awareness, it is true. We hear it all the time that you need to just be aware. But real situational awareness looks like keeping your chin up and looking where you're going. That I think too often we fall into a riding bubble where we're focused on, say, about 100 feet or so directly in front of us. And this limit, this habit of not keeping your head up and looking, where you intend to go almost into the future, it limits your reaction time. And if you're only at like 100 feet, that's like 1 second for freeway speed. So you're going to be reactive, and then you're going to make jerky movements instead of smooth, proactive adjustments. A lot of riders focus on the ground, just right in front of their front tire, like target fixation, just looking for those immediate obstacles. And that leads to survival reactions. It's like abrupt braking. Your cornering needs to be corrected mid-corner. You're going into turns too fast. You're not seeing or shooting towards your exit path. There's a general lack of smoothness. You just simply have less time to process all this incoming data. By lifting up your chin and looking where you want the bike to go, that naturally is going to improve your lean angle. It's going to change your line selection, and you're just going to ride smooth. It makes the bike feel more stable and predictable. But I would say the number one habit to overcome is that like I said, it's that riding bubble, that short distance where I'm not aware of things that are out beyond that. Thunder Rock 18, his comment is he's basically agreeing with me. He says, scanning the road ahead and maintaining a distance buffer from traffic. And especially considering traffic is, and in agreement with that, is that you only own as much road between your front tire and their rear bumper as you're willing to give. That if you shrink that distance, you just simply own less of the road. And being able to keep that distance and also keeping your head up, it makes it so that you're going to have a much smoother ride. You're not going to have to instantly react to things.
Let's talk about risk, because every rider knows it's there, but not everyone deals with it the same way. So how should a rider think about managing risk without sucking all the fun out of riding?
I would say that having too much of a focus on risk, that if you're constantly thinking about risk, that will suck the fun out of riding. But I think to overcome that, the thing to do is to shift your focus away from what we would call bravery to precision. And what I mean by that is that if you have a focus on your technical skill, safety is going to happen as a byproduct of just being good at what you do. It's also going to increase your confidence, that you feel, I wouldn't call it false confidence. It's like you now have a true form of confidence because you do have skill. You do have that experience that backs that up. And I think also if you're riding at about 70 to 80% of your ability, then you're going to have a reserve. If you're riding right at your skill level limit, if you're riding at 100% skill level on the street, you're going to be in trouble. Now, I would say there's an exception. Like if you're out the track, then go ahead and push it. That's a controlled environment where things aren't going to pop out at you. There's not going to be weird traffic or somebody making a left-hand turn in front of you. That you can just push your skill if you're on the track. But on the road, where things are not controlled, where things just happen, you need to keep that 20 to 30% in reserve. That way you keep your mental and physical bandwidth scaled back. So when these things do happen, like all of a sudden there's a patch of gravel or there's a car pulling out, that keeps your ride more stress-free and it's more enjoyable. The other is that really, when it comes right down to it, more skilled riders aren't the ones that are taking big risks. They're the ones that have developed this sixth sense about what is dangerous, and they can feel danger before it even happens. And this confidence and this skill and ability that's been developed allow more experienced riders just to be more smooth and ride more confidently. In one of the comments, I don't remember which video it was, but there was a comment about this idea of a risk pie. So you have, this full 100% circular pie, and there's three pieces in that pie, and they vary in size depending on the rider. The first piece of that pie would be your training and your skill development, those things that you have done to practice. Then is you've exercised that training in real situations. That's your experience. So the first piece would be your training and your skill development. And then you have your experience piece of that pie. And then the rest of that pie is bad luck. And if you want to reduce the size of that piece of bad luck pie, you need to increase the size of that training and skill development and increase that experience. That way, that bad luck starts to come down. When you're thinking this way, you don't have to think about the risks constantly. You're not riding afraid or fearful of what if something happens, because you know you have skill, you know you have experience, and that the probability of those bad things is going to just be lower, because if something happens, you've left that bandwidth and you can deal with it. Looking at comments, ride to feel confident, push your limits slightly, to gain experience when it feels right. And I would agree with that. The best, excuse me. Thunder Rock's comment there is, I think, very appropriate in managing what it really means to be confident, is because you have done it. And to have done it, to have real experience, means that you have done it on the road. It's one thing to do it in a controlled environment where the risk is reduced. It's another where you're actually pushing a little bit into that arena so that you gain that experience in that real setting. Also, from Thunder Rock, listen to your own intuition. Your intuitive senses, that sixth sense, like we talked about in that first question, you can start to trust it as it develops, as you become more experienced. And then you'll be able to sense. I mean, if it feels wrong, then you should pay attention to that. And I agree with that for sure.
If you like this sort of thing and would like to support the channel, the best way to do that right now is to click the subscribe button.
All right. Those are solid.
I know. I set the bar high so you can dramatically clear none of it.
You done?
Not even close.
What's the bonus question?
All right. This one might get people a little uncomfortable. Do riders sometimes use freedom as an excuse to ignore responsibility, skill development, or even basic safety?
Yeah, that's going to get some opinions.
Good, because if everyone agrees, I probably didn't ask a good question.
So there's a phenomenon referred to as the freedom trap. And the concept of freedom can sometimes be misinterpreted in a way that hinders our growth or hinders our ability to progress as good riders. The first one is just, I guess you could call it being a rebel. Resistance to regulation. For some people, freedom in their mind means the ability to act however you want without any limits or any external rules. And this will manifest sometimes as a resistance to things like mandatory helmet laws or gear requirements. And those opinions are framed as fighting against the safety crats or the bureaucratic control. And the problem with that kind of thinking is that good ideas are just good ideas. I mean, there's a string of comments that are coming into the community page right now about this idea of the safety crats, or does the state, or should the state have the right, or should they maintain things that are relevant to what might be considered public safety or for the public good? And yeah, I would argue that these are limitations to what might be considered broad freedom or liberty, but it doesn't negate the fact that good ideas are just good ideas, and doing something that's good doesn't really hinder your freedom. And sometimes getting caught in that mindset is that where that freedom trap, where I have to just do things as a resistance to regulation, which means now I'm doing bad ideas for just simply the sake of fighting against these things. The other is the calculated risk fallacy. What I mean by that is that sometimes riders believe that they're the experts of their own safety based on their own personal experience, even when that experience conflicts with proven safety standards or statistics or things that are just true. This can lead to ignoring formal training, not doing things that would promote skill development in favor of this idea that I'm just going to learn on the road. There's also this idea of recklessness being manifested as liberty. And yeah, you get that adrenaline rush from pushing the machine to its absolute limits. And sometimes that adrenaline that you get from that is conflated with freedom, thinking that, oh, this feeling that I'm having, this euphoria that I'm feeling, this is what freedom feels like. And so I need to continue to push and push and push like this in order to get that feeling again. I mean, it's like, you know, just being addicted to recklessness almost. And that can result in this very dynamic or carefree writing style where your safety motivation begins to become significantly lower. I'll go check the comments real quick. ThunderRock18 says, a little rule bending will happen. Just make sure that you have enough skill to get yourself out of trouble. Yeah, that goes back to that leave that little bit of reserve, that 20 to 30% that you can still draw on to keep yourself in that good state. So yeah, that's a good comment there. Bob Dunlock says that he rode for the first time recently, and he's pretty sure that he was breaking some laws. For one, he says he couldn't find the seatbelt. Actually, I don't think that's a law that you need to wear a seatbelt on a bike. If it is, then you have some pretty incompetent bureaucrats.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'll let you take it from here.
So, at Scary Donkey is asking, what's the most common bad habit writers have when they're writing in a group? I think the most common bad habit in a group is that there's a temptation to ride with the group. And what I mean by that is sometimes the skill of other writers is greater than your own, so that you end up pushing yourself beyond, like we talked about before, that 20 to 30% buffer that you should be keeping in your own skill reservoir. But when you're trying to keep up and ride someone else's ride the way they're riding, you're gonna run out of that reserve really, really quickly. So even when you're riding in a group, it's important to ride your own ride. It wasn't that long ago I was in a group ride where there was a new rider that was lagging quite a ways behind the rest of the group. So a small group of us just rode with him. And I think that's something that helps, first of all, that we're not pushing him, that he's going to have a bad experience, but also he still has that safety buffer of those other riders that are still with him. But I think that the answer to that question, really, the number one thing that is a bad habit is just trying to push to keep up with a group beyond your skill. So the other question is, Bob is asking whose ghost is in the other chair. There were two others that were invited for tonight, but they couldn't make it. So they're joining in spirit. So maybe we'll have we'll get some people in that chair maybe next week. We'll see how it goes. ThunderRock18 is asked, or his comment is, for me, it's when the group gets too close together and they start crossing each other's riders or their vectors. What that means is that you really have a couple of lane positions that as you're riding, if you're, you know, ahead and on the left, you should stay in the left, like no matter what. And if that rider is drifting in and out of that lane position into, say, that third lane position, that's going to cause a lot of congestion. And that cause, I mean, especially when you're riding too close together as well, that it doesn't give you any time to react to weird things that happen. And, you know, you got to leave some room for maneuvering, for passing, for, you know, whatever. And so I agree with ThunderRock18 is riding in a group, you do need to leave some space.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everyone. We appreciate your comments and your questions, your participation in our live stream today. And I'll see you out on the road, and we'll see you next time.